This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 183, for the weekend of March 21st through March 23rd.
Hey, this is Lena.
Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And you're listening to the Backseat Producers, and, this is Backseat Box Office. Hello, everybody! Hello, boys.
Again, you're out of practice.
I know. You know, I say Backseat Producers, and I always think I should be saying something different. Like, I want to lead off with Backseat Box Office. But, no. How are ya?
I am good.
Art?
I'm good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
So, since we're talking about good, how good was the box office last week, Lena?
Oh, such a sweet segue. Slightly different than what people expected, I imagine. Rising to number one was Mr. Peabody and Sherman, grossing $21.8 million. 300, Rise of an Empire, fell to number two, $19.2 million. Need for Speed opened at number three with $17.8 million. Nonstop fell to number four with $10.6 million. Tyler Perry's The Single Moms Club opened at five with $8.1 million. And I will go one more with The Lego Movie, fell to number six, grossing $7.7 million. We only had three people playing this week. Everyone had a 17, slightly different picks. Jeff and Kugron both had the same set of picks. So, Jeff, go on with ya.
Okay, I had Need for Speed at number one, so I lost 4 points there. I had Mr. Peabody and Sherman at number two, so I lost a point there. At number three, 300, Rise of an Empire, lost a point there. At number four, I had Single Moms Club, so I lost 1 point there. And at number five, I had Nonstop, and so I lost 1 point there. So I somehow managed to lose points on every slot on my top five, so I ended up with 17.
As did Kugron with the same picks. And Art, you are next.
I did almost the exact same thing. Need for Speed first, Peabody and Sherman second, 300 Rise of an Empire third, Single Moms Club in fourth, and the Lego Movie at the bottom, also ending up with 17 points.
Lovely. And for our Arts House picks, Father Beast had Veronica Mars, which averaged $6,833, but Jeff and Art had the winning pick, Bad Words, which averaged $18,884. So at the moment, Jeff is leading with 6 points. And from there, I'm going to jump to the leaderboard. Come on now. Stay there. And the leaderboard is exact, and everyone is in exactly the same place they were last week. Nancy is still first with 25 points. BD second, 24.3. Jeff third, 20.9. Kugron with 20.5. Art is in fifth, 18.5. Scuba Dave in sixth with 17 points. I am in seventh with 16.6. Tad is in fifth, 15.5. And Nick is in ninth place with 15.3 points. And for our Amazon gift card entry, we have Mr. Kugron this week. And that is it for that portion of our show.
One comment on the Arts House.
Uh-huh.
If you look on Box Office Mojo and you sort by average,
mm-hmm.
Boy, is the Grand Budapest Hotel killing it.
Yeah.
I think it's for the second week in a row. It went up from 4 to 66 theaters, and it still averaged $55,122
a theater. And for the weekend box office, it's in number eight.
Yeah. Wow.
On 66 theaters, and it's number eight. The first week, was last week the first week it was out?
I believe so.
Okay, so it started off in four theaters, and still at four theaters opened at 17. That's not so bad. And it actually had a 348.5% increase this week, adding the 62 theaters.
Yeah. So the average is down, you know, because last week it was 202,000 a theater.
Okay.
But it did almost, it went from 4 to 66, so.
Yep. And Veronica Mars, actually, on 291 theaters, opened at number 11. So.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So, well, still, 291 theaters, you open in the top 12. I think that's a pretty damn good thing, considering everything else is well over 1,000 theaters.
Okay, so sorry for derailing that a little bit.
Not at all.
So I guess we could talk about what's coming out in the theaters this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's start with Divergent. It is currently 30% on the tomato meter. There are 10 reviews, 3 fresh, 7 rotten. Of the roughly 38,000 Rotten Tomatoes users, 96% want to see it. So here's the description. Divergent is a thrilling action-adventure film set in a world where people are divided into distinct factions based on human virtues. Triss Pryor, played by Shailene Woodley, is warned she is divergent and will never fit into any one group. When she discovers a conspiracy by the faction leader, played by Kate Winslet, to destroy all divergents, Triss must learn to trust in the mysterious four, Theo James, and together they must find out what makes being divergent so dangerous before it's too late. Based on the best-selling book series by Veronica Roth. PG-13, 2 hours and 23 minutes. This is in the action and adventure, science fiction and fantasy genres, and directed by Neil Berger. Also has Miles Teller from Spectacular, or The Spectacular Now. Also has Mekhi Phifer, Maggie Q, and Ashley Judd as Triss's mother.
That's an interesting little cast.
So, is this going to get either of your butts to the theater this weekend? Probably not.
Nah.
Brittany wants to see it, and she doesn't want to see movies that often. So, if we can find a sitter, I'll go.
So, Art, why don't you tell us about the Muppet movie?
I will. Muppets Most Wanted, rated 72% on the tomato meter, 18 reviews counted, 13 fresh, 5 rotten. 95% out of 34,127 want to see it. Disney's Muppets Most Wanted takes the entire Muppets gang on a global tour, selling out grand theaters in some of Europe's most exciting destinations, including Berlin, Madrid, Dublin, and London. But mayhem follows the Muppets overseas as they find themselves unwittingly entangled in an international crime caper, headed by Constantine, the world's number one criminal, and a dead ringer for Kermit the Frog, and his dastardly sidekick Dominic, a.k.a. Number 2, portrayed by Ricky Gervais. The film stars Tina Fey as Nadia, a feisty prison guard, and Ty Burrell as Interpol agent Jean-Pierre Mollien. Rated PG, 152 minutes, directed by James Bobbin, written by James Bobbin and Nicholas Stoller. It also has Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, that's the one name that I wasn't, or I forgot that he was in this movie. And Ray Liotta.
Oh, and Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'd almost want to see it just to see what they do. I mean, I've seen Ray Liotta be silly. And I do love Christoph Waltz. And Ricky Gervais.
We enjoyed the most recent Muppet movie, so we'll probably go see this.
Muppets, really. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know.
I heard it was really good. I never got around to seeing it myself.
Both your kids want to see it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Even though my daughter wants to see Divergent first. She does like the Muppets.
Okay.
And I think that are the two movies that come out in wide release for this week. So
yep.
Now we can start the picks segment. Who's going first?
I'd say you're still higher up on leaderboard.
Indeed.
Okay. At number one, not because it deserves to be, but because the marketing onslaught will probably render this a moot point. Divergent at number one. I'm going to put two kids' movies at number two and number three. I'm going to put Muppet Most Wanted at number two.
Oops.
Mr. Peabody and Sherman, number three.
Hold on. My spreadsheet is just not agreeing with me. Okay.
At number four, 300 Rise of an Empire, and I'm going to go Crazy Town on number 5, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Ooh.
Wow.
And
what? I like that.
Or my arts house pick. I really debated over these two movies. I, ever since that, you know, I met my wife, dad introduced me to the sport of horse racing. And so I'm really interested to see 50-1, which is a based on a true story sports movie based on Mind That Bird, which I think seven or eight years ago, won the Kentucky Derby.
I remember that.
Going off at a 50-1. And I guess it was owned by a small group of cowboys in New Mexico. So there could be an interesting backstory in that. It was written and directed by the same, by Jim Wilson, who did Dances with Wolves.
Really?
So it's been a while since he's, you know, done a great movie. So we'll see. We'll see about this one. But the movie I'm going to pick, Cheap Thrills. It is a dark comedy that has relatively unknown comedians / actors. Pat Healy is in it, David Koechner, Ethan Embry, and Sarah Paxton. Basically, the plot of the movie is the main character meets this couple that is very into, or they're really into, I don't even know how to say this, on, well, basically what they like to do, they like to go to strangers and they say, well, we'll give you $500 if you do this. Then we'll give you $2,000 if you do this. And then they start to get into crime and bigger crimes in one of those spiraling out of control movies.
Hmm.
So it's probably going to do really bad, but I'm going to take a shot on it. And yeah, those are my picks.
Okay, Art, you're up next.
Okay, so I was really thinking I was going to ditto there for a second because I also think The Hype Machine is going to put Divergent at number one. And I also put two kids' movies back-to-back in a 2 and 3 spot with Muppets Most Wanted being number 2 and Peabody and Sherman being number 3. But then we deferred. I'm going to put Need for Speed in the number 4 spot and Nonstop in the number 5 spot. I think 300 Rise of Empire is going to drop like a rock. And then for the Arts House, I was also looking at both Cheap Thrills and 50-1. But in the end, I went with 50-1 because I love me some horse movies. I own Appaloosa, Seabiscuit, what was the other one with Viggo Mortensen?
Oh.
Hidalgo,
yeah. So I went with 50-1, and those are my picks.
Okay. Mine have a few little variations. My 1 and 2 are the same. I have Divergent at number 1 and Muppets at number 2. For reasons only known to me for a few minutes and then gone, I'm putting 300 Rise of the Empire at 3. Don't ask me why. Maybe because I think it's going to take a little bit of Peabody and Sherman's. The Muppets are going to take a little bit of Peabody and Sherman's audience, and that might drop them a little, giving 300 a false boost, because I'm putting Peabody and Sherman at number 4, Need for Speed at number 5, and my Arts House pick, I'm going with Blood Ties, because it looked like an interesting little cast, and that was about it. I couldn't really decide. It was almost a 6-1, half a dozen to the other. Nothing is really jumping out. I did think about 50-1. That looks interesting. I just didn't know how many people would go out to see it. I was concerned about the public.
Yeah, Blood Ties has Clive Owen, Billy Crudup, Mila Kunis, Marion Cotillard,
James Caan,
Zoe Saldana, Lily Taylor, and Matthias Schoenaerts. So yeah, that looks interesting too.
And that's about it for the movie picks portion.
All right, so guys, what have we seen lately, or what have we been watching lately?
Absolutely nothing. I still haven't watched Smallville. I keep thinking I'm going to, but I just haven't. I haven't the gumption to watch it yet.
Okay,
that's about it.
Art, how about you?
been reading a lot.
That's good. Me and Brittany have finished up the Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks trilogy of movies.
Oh, jeez.
We watched Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh, please tell me about that. Tell me your thoughts. I now forget.
I still love that movie.
I'm a flibbertigibbet.
You are a flibbertigibbet.
I love Joe versus the Volcano so much.
We went into this movie and she sees Meg Ryan for the first time. This very, very young, very thin, out of her mind Meg Ryan. And she goes, is she going to be like this for the rest of the movie? And I look at her and I go, no, she'll be gone soon. And Brittany looks at me completely confused and says, but this is a Tom Hanks Meg Ryan movie. I said, yes. Yes, it is. And that Meg Ryan goes up, and an even crazier, out of her mind Meg Ryan shows up on the screen. And then she says, is this the Meg Ryan? I said, no, no. It gets better. And then that Meg Ryan goes away, and we get the real Meg Ryan.
I have not seen that in such a long time.
I totally love this movie. I love the way it was shot. I love the story it had to tell. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoy it. It is still my favorite of the three movies, having watched them all back to back to back. Brittany still prefers You've Got Mail, but she likes Joe vs. Volcano better than Sleepless in Seattle. So
You've Got Mail is, of those three, that's the least of my favorites. I would put Joe versus the Volcano first, and then Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah, it's just a matter of preference. I think it's something that's got a little bit more modern sensibilities about it, as far as for her preferences, liking You Got Mail. It's shot in a more modern style, you know, with the pacing and the way it goes. So I think that's why she prefers it, whereas, you know, the other two, they are just at a much slower pace. I mean, you can just, you watch it and it's like, it is just, it's moving forward and it's going at its own time and it's not rushing for you. This is the story we've got to tell and we're going to tell it. And but like I said, I still really enjoyed Joe vs. Volcano and I'm glad I picked it up.
Oh, good.
Of those three movies, I think I've only seen Sleepless in Seattle. And I end up watching it a little bit again just because you mentioned it last week on the show.
Yeah,
I would highly recommend Joe versus the Volcano. It's not stereotypical rom-com. It's got its quirks, which is why I love it.
It is a quirky, offbeat comedy.
Absolutely.
And it's over the top in a lot of its, what am I trying to say? It's over the top stylized. It really is.
And, like, I just love how, you know, at the beginning when he's going to that job, that horrible, like, the lights in that basement room and everyone looks gray. And it was just, and, oh, gosh, I can't, the guy who plays his boss, who I've always liked him. His name is, he was on Cheers as Carla's ex-husband.
Before she hooked up with the hockey player. I do not remember his name.
Oh, Lord. And then he actually had his own... Did he have his own show? Because his wife was played by Casey Kasem's wife, Jean Kasem. And then she got a show, so I can't remember if he got the show, too. What is his name? He's just a little hairy thing.
Dan Hedaya. No. Is that who it is? Dan Hedaya?
Oh, Dan Hedaya.
Yeah.
Hedaya. Yep.
Hedaya.
He's a fantastic character actor. And he's just so hairy and icky. But it works. It works for him.
Nick Tortelli, Carla's ex-husband.
Nick Tortelli. Right.
And its short-lived spinoff, The Tortellis, 1987.
Da-da-da! See, I know my 80s crap, man. May not know the names of anything, but I'll remember it all.
Yep, Dan Hedaya and... Gene Kasem.
Yeah.
As Loretta Tortilli. 13 episodes.
Whoa.
A full season? That would never fly nowadays.
No.
It would have been canceled before it even went on the air.
Wow.
And still, I don't understand when they do things like that now. It's like, how do you cancel something when I haven't even seen it yet? Like, how do you get that going? Let someone see it once. Eh.
So, Jeff, what about you? What'd you see?
All right, well, I took the kids to the theater over the weekend.
Oh, my.
So, we actually ended up seeing two movies because my daughter and my wife were not into Mr. Peabody and Sherman. So, those two went to go see The Single Moms Club. And then I took my son and his friend to go see Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which I enjoyed very much. Ty Burrell does a great job as Mr. Peabody. I probably enjoyed it because I wasn't really tied to the television show from way back. No pun intended. I enjoyed it very much. I was getting huge deja vu toward the end for Bill and Ted's.
Really?
Just because all the historical figures come to the present.
Right.
And kind of run around for a little bit.
Okay.
But it was very enjoyable. Wasn't too long. They kind of hand waved with the, you know, space-time continuum at the end. But I didn't mind it. I don't think it took away from anything. We are talking about a talking dog as a time machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend that as a good kids movie. Now, as far as my wife's review of The Single Moms Club, she enjoyed it very much. And I'm realizing that I think that's her first Tyler Perry movie.
Really?
Yeah, and I've never seen any Tyler Perry.
You don't know what you're missing out on.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I've seen the Madea movies, but not any of the non-Madea ones. But I haven't seen, I think the last Madea movie one I saw was the one where she was sent to jail. Get off there! Stop it!
I just rewatched that one a little bit. I didn't watch it all, but it was on, and I saw some of it.
That was when my mom was still living in Florida because she loves Madea movies, and I remember I took her to that one. Mm. But when the first two come on TV, as they are wont to do quite often, I'll watch parts of it. Like, I like the parts with her. Sometimes I could just care less about the other part of the storyline. The one that actually has a message, I could care less. I just like the Madea parts.
And two trailers, I think, that are worth mentioning. One is a full two-minute trailer for How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Oh.
Looks really good. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I saw the trailer for Annie. I don't know how I feel about this. And Elena, you know, you might want to buckle in for what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
Guess who plays Daddy Warbucks?
Oh,
Now, to give you a hint, the actress that broke through in Beasts of the Southern Wild does play Annie.
Okay. Wasn't it initially supposed to be Willow Smith? Because that just turned my stomach.
Okay, now, that's who I thought it was.
I think originally it was her, and then she backed out for some reason. Thank you, that stupid, talentless little twit. I don't care how old she is. I'm throwing those words out there. I don't care. Whatever.
Okay.
Please, she can bite and sell me a million times. I can say whatever the hell I want.
Okay, all right, well.
Kavajane. Is her last name Willis? Like, I've got the first name.
I don't.
Okay, let's see. Remember. Daddy Warbucks. Is it someone I like or don't like?
It's one of those.
Ah, you're so cagey, Jeff.
No, okay. Someone you don't like.
See, usually it's
I would have to say you passionately
don't like this
actor.
This actor. Gosh dang it all the heck. Who do I hate?
He has a rather sizable role in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Nope, you lost me.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the main villain you see in every Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer.
Oh.
Of which I've not seen any. what the heck?
I didn't know.
Who do I don't like?
And I'll give you a hint. It's not Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to say one word and you're instantly going to get it.
All right.
Django.
Oh, mother of freak. Are you kidding me?
Jamie Foxx.
Shut up! I hate him! Don't say his name!
So, Jamie Foxx plays... I don't even know if they still call him Daddy Warbucks. But he plays the father. Rose Byrne plays the, you know, assistant that's, I guess, kind of in love with him. And Cameron Diaz plays the Carol Burnett role of the, you know, head of the foster home.
Okay, that is a movie I will never see, ever.
Yeah, I don't want to prejudge, and I don't want to, you know.
No, I'm prejudged.
But it does not look good just by the trailer.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
But I thought I had to bring it up. Yeah, so that was, I didn't really watch anything on TV. I didn't see the last Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., even though I'm really, I really want to see this last one because of the guest star. Art, have you watched at least the one before that?
No.
Okay.
I am now three behind at this point.
Not necessarily, because tonight is not, they are not having an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They are doing basically in 1 hour infomercial, Marvel saying, look at all these awesome movies that we're coming out with.
Oh.
And apparently there is some teaser footage of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. And I'm sure there's going to be some about Guardians of the Galaxy. And other than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the two movies that I've talked about, that's all I really watched over the week. So I think we can get to news.
Right.
Let's get to news.
Okay. Lena, do you have anything?
Nope.
Okay, Art, do you have anything you want to talk about?
Okay. Sofia Coppola directing a darker live-action Little Mermaid.
Huh.
Either one of you heard anything about this?
No.
Okay. Now, here's the first line of the article. Tell me, do you agree or disagree? Sofia Coppola is one of the most acclaimed filmmakers in the industry today.
That's just PR.
Yeah.
Just PR speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. I was like, that is quite a statement that I am not buying.
I give that she's talented. I accept her talent. But not so, you know, no. Not
really,
to that.
I'm going to say she's riding on her dad's coattails. Because I have not seen one of her movies that I really thought I enjoyed really that much. And the box office isn't really behind it either. So I don't know where they're getting that. Just because she gets Oscar nominations. I don't know. But anyway. So yeah, it's. They're saying it's going to come closer to the source material because it doesn't really end well for our seafaring maiden in the original story. A lot of interesting people attached to it, but it's out there, and I won't be seeing it. But we'll have to see where it goes and how it comes out. What do you got, Jeff?
Well, no, I was just going to say I'm not liking the road that we're going down about making live action versions of cartoons or animated movies.
Well,
you know, it's just, you know, it's like one level below reboots.
Okay.
I don't know.
I will see, like, I like, the Alice in Wonderland, Johnny Depp, blah, 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 blah. I really enjoyed that. So I don't know. What other ones are you thinking of?
Now I said that, I'm trying to think.
That's okay, I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
It's not necessarily...
If the idea of it bothers you, that's fine. I mean,
It's just, you know, I'm always about original stories, and, you know, and new characters, and, you know, I always, you know, they always say that there are no more original stories, but I don't know. And it's not really based on previous movies that I hated with a passion or any of that.
Right.
But I don't know. And maybe it's the fact that, you know, Little Mermaid is, you know, is a revered movie in this household.
Right.
So, okay, yeah. You know, they can remake, you know, something else.
No, for sure. I mean, they're going to crap on that legacy. That is a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, my first news story. These are two Disney stories, but the first one, I think, is probably a bigger story than the second one. Star Wars. I guess there was a shareholders meeting where the CEO of Disney came out, and, you know, he did the stand-up thing. He did the forthright thing where he basically confirmed of what we pretty much already knew already and said it was big news. And the really big thing is that the movie's going to be set 30 years after the events of Return of the Jedi. He also said that it will star a trio of new young leads, along with some very familiar faces. And, you know, there's rumors going around. We're pretty much almost assured that Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher will reprise their roles from the original trilogy. There's also a rumor going around that they're negotiating with Adam Driver to play, I don't know if it's the villain or a villain in Star Wars Episode 7, but we're almost getting to an anniversary because, I guess, March 22nd, which would be this weekend, was the first day of principal photography in Tunisia when they started filming Star Wars. Yeah, if you go to StarWars.com, they have a nice breakdown of all these milestones. When they start filming for each of the, when they start starting each of the films. And let me reiterate in case I missed it, they are set to roll cameras in May 2014. So there's that. And on a side note, Monday was the 10-year anniversary of Lost. And I don't know what, I don't think it was Hollywood Reporter, but there was another movie site that was relaying a story about Lost that they cast most of the characters for Lost even before they even had a script.
Never seen it.
Yeah. So you're saying that that's how JJ likes to work.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's not something that breeds confidence in Mr. Abrams, but, you know, I think there's been enough analysis that I'm just waiting to see it. Okay. And I think we lost Lena.
We did.
Again. So she will lose her turn. So Art, what do you have next?
Okay. Well, apparently Brittany Murphy, who died 4 years ago, has a new movie coming out. Apparently there was something in the can that was awaiting editing, and just a couple months after she passed, they figured out they needed to do some reshoots, and they needed some very specific weather in some very specific locations, and they only just finally were able to get the reshoots done, and so there will be a movie coming out with Brittany Murphy in it.
Mm.
And I just thought that was really interesting to have this full movie coming out so far, so long after she passed.
Yeah, that is kind of odd. That is kind of odd. Okay.
You think they would have tried to press it out in some way closer to when she passed instead of just being so long, but it is what it is. So back around to you.
Okay. Another announcement that Walt Disney Company Chief Bob Iger said that Pixar is in development for Cars 3 and Incredibles 2. Cars 3, I think, is less of a surprise based upon that. I think that, you know, they want to keep cranking out movies because of their investment in Cars Land at Disneyland. And it looks like that they're making, you know, they're almost making as much money on the merchandising as they are on the movie.
Crazy.
Yeah. And,
you know, just briefly, as a kid, I always wanted one of those red race car beds.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember those?
Mm-hmm.
Plastic body, you know, a little twin bed in it. And I was just, I don't know where I was, but I saw one just the other day, and they still have the red plastic race car bed, but now it's not just a generic race car, it's McQueen.
Yes, you can get McQueen, I'm sure you can get Mater, and then the, you know, they started rolling out cars from the second movie. So, yeah, we will, when that's going to come out, I don't know. I've heard that it takes them 4 years to complete a movie. So it's probably gonna be a while. I'm more excited about Incredibles 2. And not so much it's because of the Incredibles or that I love so much the first Incredibles movie. But the guy who had written and directed the original one is going to be doing the second one, Brad Bird. So I am encouraged by that news.
Yes.
So we'll see. He's currently working on a movie, Tomorrowland, which I have no idea what Tomorrowland is about.
Talked about it briefly. We talked about it briefly some months ago. I saw a little blurb on it.
In addition, that they detailed that they're going to be re-releasing The Incredibles in 3D as well as Ratatouille. And Pixar's impending schedule is that next year they're going to have Inside Out, which is an animated movie which takes place inside the mind of an 11-year-old girl. And then Thanksgiving's The Good Dinosaur and Finding Dory, the sequel to Finding Nemo, that comes out in 2016. So we'll see what happens with this. Art, what do you have?
Okay. This week in home entertainment, Frozen on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the house. I will be watching this soon.
You haven't seen it yet?
I had not seen it, no. We don't. Watch it with Aubrey for the first time because she still is not old enough to go to the theater.
Mm.
She will not sit still.
Mm, okay.
So, and that is my last bit of news.
And another mini item of news is that Skype is not being nice to our co-host Lena. So she emailed me to, she wanted me to tell everybody, we will catch you next week. So, sorry that Skype isn't being nice to you, Lena.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but at least she was here for most of it.
Yes.
And, one more small bit of news, non-movie related. Okay. So we talked about Starbase Jeff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cheap-ass Games had a very successful Kickstarter that made over $300,000 for a bunch of different card games.
Oh my God!
One of the stretch goals was that they would put Starbase Jeff on their free to download games on their website.
Oh wow!
So there you go. You went looking for it the other day, but it's not there yet. I just checked before we got on tonight.
Hmm.
But at some point they will put it on. And I did back the Kickstarter, so I'm sure that I will get notification when Starbase Jeff is available. And I will let you know.
Yes, let me know. Let me know, because that's definitely something I'm going to have to pick up now. Okay, so I'm pretty much out of news. So now I think we can finally kill off the 82 mind-blowing movie facts you probably didn't know. Last week we ended at 62, and there's a couple of them that are kind of obscure. So I'm going to be skipping a couple of them. So we're going to go, this is 63 to 82. Okay, here we go. At number 63, The Shawshank Redemption, number one on IMDb, was the 51st highest grossing film in 1994, way behind Street Fighter that came out in the same year.
Nice.
64, Michael Fassbender is to produce and star in an Assassin's Creed movie.
Oh.
65, after a slew of drug-related offenses, Robert Downey Jr. was a semi-blacklisted celebrity until Kiss Kiss Bang Bang reignited his career.
Huh.
So that's actually my next movie in the Netflix queue, because I think that's the first time that he and Iron Man 3 director Shane Black had worked together. So they kind of reunited for Iron Man 3. Okay, number 66, Quentin Tarantino was originally going to use the song Wise Man by Frank Ocean in Django Unchained, but chose not to. Yeah, I don't know what we're talking about there. Okay, do you know who Frank Ocean is?
No.
Is he related to Billy Ocean?
Because
I know Billy
Ocean.
Okay, just check. I mean, because there can only be one family that has Ocean as last name. Okay.
He's not really that popular, right?
Yeah, well, you know. Okay, as opposed to Lake. But anyways, 67. The childish snickering during The Usual Suspects' iconic lineup was genuine, caused by Benicio del Toro's persistent flatulence. Oh, we're going lowbrow now. Okay, 68. Hasbro denied Pixar the use of G.I. Joe in Toy Story when they found out that the G.I. Joe doll was going to be blown up by Sid.
Big mistake.
Mm-hmm. 69, C.S. Lewis reviewed The Hobbit in 1937, saying The Hobbit may well prove a classic. Number
well,
seven.
Well, wait. But you know they were colleagues.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
You know, why wouldn't you say your buddy's book's going to be good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
70, The Floating Pen in Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey wasn't done with CGI, but camera trickery using glass and tape.
Hmm.
Number 71, Orson Welles, Citizen Kane, voiced Unicron in the Transformers movie 1986, his penultimate film role.
Yep, I knew that.
72, Bryan Cranston played a minor role in Spielberg's 1998 Saving Private Ryan.
Did not know that. I've never seen it.
73, Bender from Futurama was named after John Bender from The Breakfast Club.
Nice.
I'm going to skip 74. 75, in 2002, Steven Spielberg finally finished college after a 33-year hiatus. He turned in Schindler's List for his student film requirement. 76, on the set of one of the Pirates of the Caribbean films, Johnny Depp spent 40,000 pounds on 500 coats for the cast and crew. Number 77, on the set of 1982's The Thing, the whole cast and crew was male. Number 78, on the first day of filming the exorcism sequence in The Exorcist, Linda Blair's delivery of her foul-mouthed dialogue so disturbed the gentlemanly Max von Sydow forgot his lines. At number 79, in Iron Man / Avengers, Jarvis is an acronym for, do you know this one, Art?
I do not. I've heard it before, but I could not recall it off the top of my head.
Jarvis, which is J-A-R-V-I-S, stands for Just a Rather Very Intelligent System. Number 80, Peter Ostrom, Charlie from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, never acted in another movie after that and is now a veterinarian.
Huh.
Number 81, in Saving Private Ryan, all the main cast were given basic military training except Matt Damon, in the hope that the cast would build a resentment towards him necessary for the role. And number 82, the Russians made a movie version of The Hobbit in 1985, and it's available on YouTube.
Really? Is it in Russian?
I don't know. I will send you the link.
Is it subtitled?
Yeah, I don't know. And
you know, after watching Space Dogs, maybe I don't want to watch that.
Yes, you might have done your time supporting Russian cinema.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is the end of 82 mind-blowing movie facts you probably didn't know, and that's probably a good point to end the show.
You know, I thought the Transformers was Orson Welles' last movie. Didn't realize it was second to last. Interesting.
Well, let's just see.
Looking to see if they show...
According to IMDb, his last movie was Someone to Love in 1987.
Yeah, I know that, but I'm wondering, like, when was it? When did it film? How long did it take to edit? Blah-de-blah-de-blah. But, yeah. No, I believe it. I was surprised. Okay, yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right, so everyone, thank you for listening. And No one turned in their assignment from last week to our listeners. Let us know what you've been watching, whether TV or movies. And other than that, Art, do you have anything else to say?
Go watch a movie.
Yes, go watch a movie, and we will catch you next time.
Good night.